Good morning, everyone. This is Sunday, January 15th, 2017. We welcome you all to our Sunday morning roundtable. Our subject today is life, and we are recording from Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in the United States of America. The golden text today is Proverbs. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. We're going to touch on a few things from the Bible. We had a wonderful Bible study yesterday. If anyone missed it, please listen to the recording. Now, Jeremy wrote about this, as well as Bruce, on the forum. Jeremy, you want to mention anything?
Well, the fact that the labor of the righteous tendeth to life got me thinking that I certainly saw what I was doing before was not tending to life, and it just was pretty quickly spiraling down. So I'm just really grateful to see here how doing the right thing, you know, focusing on God, you feel the uplift. It's wonderful.
Thank you. So it's an important point to remember. When you're living a Christly life, when you are knowing God is your life, you are tending to life. But if you are in the carnal mind, and you are being hateful and mean and spiteful and jealous and all of that, those things uncontrollably, you are tending to what?
Death.
It's the death of mortal mind, because that's all mortal mind can do is destroy itself. But if you're going to claim it to be part of you, then you're going to suffer from it. You're going to suffer in the Adam dream. And sometimes people think they can do it and get away with it, but you can't. Or sometimes you'll think, well, I'll just hate Aunt Tilly for the next few months and then I'll stop. But in the meantime, you're causing disruptions in your body, in your home, in the world, because instead of being thinking godlike, Christlike thoughts, you are thinking carnal thoughts. And in belief, it's a bad dream, but you're in that bad dream, and sometimes you get where you can't control it. Anybody else?
And the whole idea of turning it on and turning it off, that's really playing with fire. It says to consecrate our life to the Lord. That's all the time, you know. After all, if we're here, I mean, I took it, life being a synonym of God, and God reflecting himself as us, you know, we're doing things, we're laboring. Nice to know who and what we're working for. We're consecrated to God. We can feel that divine energy working in us.
Thank you.
It does do it.
And it goes very well with the last citation in Science and Health, which is, Sharon, you can read.
We all must learn that life is God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter onto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost, and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true beings.
Thank you. So you start your day knowing God is your life. Suzanne's not on, is she? She wrote about all of this lesson is about life being love, living a life of love is life. So we have to identify with that. And then it asks you also in Science and Health about, what was that about? Praying and... Yes, the test of all prayer lies in the answer to these questions. Do we love our neighbor better because of this asking? Or do we pursue the old selfishness, satisfying with having prayed for something better? So Though we give no evidence of the sincerity of our request by living consistently with our prayer. So, life is God, life is love, and life is, this is the theme throughout the lesson, the good deeds, the living of it. We had a little bit of overlap from last week's lesson, if you notice, in the responsive reading and also in Micah. And since our illustrious lesson proofers didn't catch it, then to me that means God is just an extra reminder of these points. We sometimes do have similar things, or sometimes even the same passages, occasionally. And so it's just re-emphasized that life is God.
For me, it felt like it expanded.
You're
like it
right.
Took it and then gave you an example of
thank you.
I thought it was intentional.
Thank
I
you.
Loved it.
Well, it shows the continuity
yeah,
of the subjects.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Betty was divinely led to provide these subjects and to provide them in this order. You know, the previous subject was sacrament. And what is sacrament? I mean, what is required of it? What does sacrament require of it?
Consecrate our life
to Him. To live a godlike life.
So it does. You're very right. It does continue the continuity.
Now, for me, some things are worth repeating.
They are. Very often, I have to have it repeated many times.
There's something one day. I need to hear it again the next day, too.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm just talking about for me.
Everybody does.
And in that citation 15, hold perpetually this thought. Now, this is, again, this isn't something you just do on Saturdays and forget it on Monday. You do it perpetually, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, encompassing all true being. That's a good one to remember and use. You're not doing it. Who is doing it? Spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost. That is what enables you to demonstrate. This is what you hold perpetually to. It's never you. If you think you can't do it, if you think you can't heal yourself, you think you can't get a good job, then you're right. It's the Holy Ghost, the Christ idea that does it. That enables you with scientific certainty, just as in math. The rule of healing, it's a principle, a rule, based upon its divine principle, and it's underlying you, it's overlying you, and it's encompassing you. Can't get around it, can't get away from it. There.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Wherever you go, it's with you anyway.
It's with you anyway, and isn't that wonderful? Now, Bruce is going to tell us briefly how he found our church and was transformed by it. I didn't forget, so stay on your toes.
Myself on my toes suddenly. Thanks for calling me out. Well, I must say, Mary and Gary first mentioned the church to me. That's how I first heard about it. I guess I knew in my heart that there was something going on in the other churches. Didn't really know. But the thing that made me so receptive to it was that I did have a great need. There was a great unfulfilled thing that was making me feel very intent about finding a resolution to it. And I came to this church one cold December, time to visit. I'd heard some really good things, and plus I had the opportunity of reading Dominion Within, which touched my heart. I'll never forget that moment. I walked into this church on the very first Sunday service, sat down. There was a woman in the service that passed away. Mrs. Evans, who was our teacher at the time, got up and sat down next to this woman. I didn't really see or hear exactly what was going on, but it was a few moments later, this woman came back to life again. At the end of the service, this woman stood up and sang the last hymn with us. And it was like God was saying to me, do you have any doubts about what's going on here in this church? And if you do, this should answer them for you. Well, I had to go back home, and later that spring I moved to Plainfield. Been part of this church since then. And I must say that in the ensuing time after that, error does try us. We do have testing times. And for me, when I felt like throwing my hands up and walking away for whatever thing was coming up, I remembered this experience, and of course Jesus' words, by their fruits ye shall know them. I may not understand all that's going on, but I saw a fruit that was unmistakable.
The rest is history.
And he came from Washington State. He was one of the fishermen that dropped everything and came. And I have to say that Bruce and Gary, too, they had a great love of their home, of the Pacific Northwest. Beautiful area. Very different from New Jersey. The snow-capped mountains and hiking and camping and a whole different way of life. But they were willing to leave that all behind and to come here and work for this cause. And they have stayed. And Bruce is Gary's brother, but we really don't see that. You know, we don't. We're all brothers and sisters in this church. So there's not this human personal tie, really. And Bruce came for God, not because of Gary, but for God. And that is true about everyone here. And we've relinquished these so-called human ties. We're all here, and all of you are just as much our brother and sister as any so-called human relationship. So, quite wonderful. I'm grateful. Thank you, Bruce. Oh, okay. Suzanne is here. Hi, Suzanne. I wanted to mention in the Bible, because it relates to what we're talking about, and I testified to it, when Jesus said to the rich man, who said he had done everything, he did all the commandments, he did it all. I've done all these things from my youth, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And that's a translation of, if thou wilt be perfect, if you will have that spiritual maturity which accompanies a self-sacrificing character. Again, you cannot demonstrate this science unless you are willing to give of yourself, to have a self-sacrificing character. You might come in at first wanting all your healings, you want, but before long, that's got to switch to what you can give. Most of you here absolutely know that. Otherwise, you can't maintain it. So this guy, he did all the right things, literally, and he had the letter, but he needed the spirit, and he wouldn't do it. So he walked away.
He didn't see that God keeps giving you stuff. I always think that with that, about what you have, it's not just a limited thing, you know. Sell it today and then you're just done tomorrow. So God keeps giving you things to keep, you know, trading that value for more value.
That's right.
I also think he didn't realize he loved his possessions more than he loved God. He said he obeyed all the commandments, but the first is what? So he was really oblivious to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. He had other gods.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, if he had just been willing, he might not have had to have done it, just as Isaac had to be willing to sacrifice his son, but then he didn't have to do it. It's the willingness, the absolute willingness that is very important. So, anyway, it's something to ask of yourself. Do you have that self-sacrificing character?
And which citation in Science and Health speaks to this?
There are many,
Number three certainly speaks to it.
It does.
The third
citation.
Go ahead, read it. Unselfish ambition, noble life motives, and purity. These constituents of thought mingling constitute individually and collectively true happiness, strength, and permanence.
You've got to have that.
That's worth a lot, Tom.
I was talking to Gary the other day. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Well, I was just noticing citation 13 where James says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Thank you, yes. Well, I've been talking to Gary. I was just remembering how depressed I used to be. You know, not just for a day or two. I could be depressed for months. That world was just so dreary to me. And the major difference, I would say, is this. It's very dreary to only have yourself to think about. I was very selfish and self-centered. All I thought about was myself. You know, my family, this, that, what we're going to do, what if I lost somebody, well, I was worried about everything. All I thought about was myself. It was so depressing. Holy Moses, was it depressing. And this is what makes a difference. I don't have time to think about myself. I've got too much else to think about and to do. And this is the joy of working and doing things in our church. It brings such joy. We'll get into that later about our focus and what we're looking at. So, great healing. That no drugs did it. No drugs. No drugs ever will do it. You know, I was also telling Gary, there's something quite miraculous that happened last night. Jeremy's daughter, she's needed a job. And, I've been praying about it. She only comes every other weekend to see her father. And the other week, Jeremy said something like, oh, well, if you could find a job here that was, you know, you could work every other week, that would be great, but it sounded like, well, that's pretty impossible. Well, last night, or yesterday afternoon, we were out to lunch, and the owner of this restaurant came up and told Olivia she would like her to work as a waitress there. And Olivia said, well, I don't live here. I could only come every other week. And she said, that's fine. Choose your hours. Saturday would be great. We'd love it. Now, that is a miracle. God's prayer went out. My prayer went out. And Karen, that owner of the restaurant, heard it. It's no less than a miracle because I hear all the time, there are no jobs, this can't work out, that can't work out. I'm telling you, when you've got God working, anything can work out. And we didn't even seek it.
She volunteered it.
And she's a dear, sweet woman. And that is God's plan unfolding for his children. Now, whether she has the receptivity to accept it is something, and I pray she does.
I pray too. I tell you, don't ever say no to a good opportunity. So.
This is God working, and it can work for you just in that manner. Just because Jeremy has given his life to this church, to this cause, wholly, as Caleb did yesterday, not partially, but everything he's given it, it blesses him, it blesses his family. You heard Jeffrey's story. Jeffrey came, his biggest concern was he had this huge debt. Not much work. How would he ever? He felt so guilty. He was the prodigal son. He came. He's been very faithful. He attends everything. He got practitioner help. And you heard on Wednesday what happened. And he went and talked to his father and wept over what he found here, like the prodigal son. His father forgave him the debt. These are the miracles. They are miracles. Please do not just say, oh, that would have happened anyway. That's garbage. It's absolute garbage, and that's a human mind that does it. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. It happened because lives were given in full service to the Father. And they are, you want to call them modern day miracles? Yes, they are. To us, they're not miracles. Mrs. Eddy once said, she said that whatever she asked God for, he gave her. There are days, honestly, there's some days I feel that way. Our Father loves you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He loves you. The good that he has for you is unmeasurable. He pours it down to you. As Linda said yesterday, it is the open fount to all. There are just some who go to access it. That fountain of love is pouring out on Olivia, poured out on Jeremy. Whether you accept it or not is something else. If you're so involved in your own self, you won't even see it or acknowledge it. And frankly, we are just scratching the surface of what the goodness that God has for us. And it's also on the list, lesson individually, what Gary just wrote. Individually and collectively, true happiness, strength, and permanence.
I just want to say, it really shows me how it is impersonal, you know, good is impersonal, that this kind of stuff could happen to me. I know it can happen to anyone if they wake up to it.
It can.
It can, and it does.
In a way, it's talking about the golden text. I mean, you're doing God's work, you're obeying his commandment, observant of his laws, and it tended your life.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the labor of the righteous is. It's doing right. Standing up for the truth. Standing up for principle. Loving unselfishly. Not complicated. It requires discipline of thought, a pure motive, love for the truth.
I've been reading the autobiography of Clarence Thomas, who is a Supreme Court justice. He grew up in the rural South under...
North Carolina?
No, it wasn't. It was Savannah. It was Georgia, but it doesn't matter. It was, and anyway, under the injustices that the black people have suffered, did suffer, still suffer to some degree down there. It's interesting. I'm only part way through it, but it's an amazing story. It's called My Grandfather's Son, and he talks about his real father left him. So he had this grandfather that raised him and was tough as nails on he and his brother. And I mean, the part I am in now, I mean, Clarence Thomas was just a very, very angry black person and getting into the riots and all kinds of things, which is his daddy disapproved of. But I'm going to find out what happens, because he is eventually transformed, at least to some degree. Some of you might know him because he was accused of
sexual abuse.
Yeah.
He was horribly maligned.
He was horribly maligned. And after reading just part of this biography, I have no doubt it was not the truth at all. He called that a modern-day lynching. And the suffering that it caused him is probably untold. Again, the suffering that he went through, and yet he overcame it and became what he is, which is something tremendous. So, again, the open fount is open to all, and God is no respecter of any people, anything, and we all have our stories. We all have had our suffering in one way or the other. Some might be worse. Some is definitely worse than what others have gone through. But if you go to that open fount and you access what's there, tremendous things can happen. And my understanding is now he's happy and amazing what he came through. I have infinite respect for that. Infinite respect, because he was told, oh, don't even bother, you have no chance, you know, it's just forget about it. But he didn't. He fought his way. And that's better than lying down and taking it. But he also said that his daddy, his grandfather, was the greatest man he ever knew. And if you read this story, it's so touching. It's a wonderful story. And what his daddy did out of love for him and his brother. So.
He labored for the right.
He labored for the right, yes.
He was a very angry young man because he was angry at what was wrong, which is a good thing.
It was an offense to God for any of God's people to be treated the way they were treated. That's an offense to God. So somewhere he calms down. He knows his daddy always told him, you know, shouldn't be acting that way. He was going to good colleges, he was making the best grades, he was doing well, but he was still very angry. So, anyway. Okay, Jeremy, we talked yesterday about the 12 tribes of Israel and what you wrote on the forum. I just wanted you to read what Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health about that. Not all the different tribes, people can read that for themselves, but what she says on page 562.
The spiritual idea is crowned with 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel with all mortals, separated by belief from man's divine origin and the true idea, will, through much tribulation, yield to the activities of the divine principle of man in the harmony of science. These are the stars in the crown of rejoicing. They are the lamps in the spiritual heavens of the age, which show the workings of the spiritual idea by healing the sick and the sinning, and by manifesting the light which shines unto the perfect day as the night of materialism wanes.
Thank you. And how did you connect that? Tell them what you did in the form.
Oh, just Jesus had told his disciples that they would, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When I read that, I realized he's not giving them like a material appointment. You know, he's telling them something symbolic. So I went to Mrs. Eddy's definition of the Jacob's sons and the glossary, see what she said about that. It was really it encompasses all the good and the bad of what we have to judge our thought against. So.
Yes, yeah, it was really excellent to see that. And so you can look it over yourself and see the good and the bad and how we, the tares and the wheat, we don't let the bad keep in our thought. We replace it with what we know to be true. What I wanted to give you, and I know I've given it to you before, and this was from Mrs. Evans, when you have a great victory, it is a star in your crown of rejoicing. What happened to Jeremy's daughter last night is a star in your crown of rejoicing. You all should be keeping journals and to write things down. When something like that happens, so incredibly God working, without a doubt. Because on the other hand, you can hear, oh, well, I can't get a job, there's just no opportunities. I've already heard that there's the area that she lives with her mother, there's no opportunities, nothing there. All these are excuses. They are excuses. So when God works like that, you've got to see it as God's opening. And remember, it is a star in your crown of rejoicing. Don't ever forget it. What happened to Jeffrey, to be forgiven that debt that just didn't happen. It is a star in your crown of rejoicing. Years ago, when Mrs. Evans gave this to me, was when I had failed to lock my door, and I came home one afternoon, and there were robbers in the house with pillowcases full of stuff. And I ran up the stairs screaming obscenities, and they ran out the door after dropping all the pillowcases on the floor. She said, "That is a star in my crown of rejoicing. I was never to forget it." And since then, I have kept a journal, and you remember the times. Hitherto the Lord
has helped me, hitherto he will.
Thank you. Remember it. All right. Anyone want to say anything? Oh, one thing, that word constitute, I didn't look it up again, but years ago I looked it up and I loved it because have you heard of constituted orange juice?
Constituted?
Yes, reconstituted orange juice. Okay, well, reconstituted orange juice is, well, the definition of constitute was it's what makes a thing what it is. Okay, so God is what makes you what you are. You're reconstituted orange juice. Well, you're part of him. You're not him, but he's expressing himself through you. So anyway, I just love that thought of being constituted.
And that's what the last citation in the Bible is all about.
Go ahead, read it.
To be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, reconstituting of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, an orange could not make anything less than orange juice, right? Can't make cherry juice. It makes orange juice. Well, you are what God is, reflected by him, reconstituted, renewed.
Perfect, in the perfect. Couldn't be better, can be better.
Yes.
I like that reconstituted. When I first came here, my life felt so small. And since then, it has gotten much bigger.
It's truly wonderful, the joy that this life gives us.
Put a post-it on the door as the children leave that man is God in action.
Good.
Where? It's here?
At my house.
Oh, at your house.
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I changed them, but that's been the latest one.
Wonderful. And I know Elizabeth had said that, you know, she pins up on their, where is it, Elizabeth, on your bulletin board or something?
Yeah, it's my chalkboard, and I should be more consistent about it, but I would take something from the calendar and put it on there and then change it out. And it's for everybody to see. Everyone who comes in the house, who walks by.
Excellent. These are little ways. I think someone wrote somewhere about how that's how they're using the calendars. That, you know, they're just little ways. To me, I think of them as little ambassadors. You know, you can pass them around. They have our church website on there. People notice them. I mean, we have them in our house. I know workmen who come in. I can't help but see it. They're little ambassadors. So they're ways, you know, without even saying anything. People notice. They, just like Benjamin, who changes our church sign, that sign, sometimes that's all the religion some people get, passing that sign, and they read it, and they think about it. Your life might be, I'm saying, your life might be all the religion anybody gets, your expression of the Christ. You might be responsible for bringing them more deeply into the science of being. Okay, it's time now for Linda. You can read citation 4.
The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptures, working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Is it imperfection, joy, sorrow, sin, suffering? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptures and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow those lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
To remedy this, we must first turn our gaze in the right direction and then walk that way. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble life. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear.
Thank you. And what did you say on the forum? You don't have to read it, but in your own words.
Well, the last week's, I think it was the roundtable where you talked about Spurgeon and the Isaiah quote, "Look unto me and be ye saved," made a profound impact on my life. And as soon as I read that, Mrs. Eddy says it all through her writing, look to God, and she says it in different ways. And here it says, turn your gaze in the right direction and then walk that way.
Thank you. And Florence furthered that with quotes from Science and Health. Turn your gaze, look. In the Bible, how many times do you read, behold? It's all throughout the Bible as well. Now, what is the principle? And actually, I'm going to have Bruce read what you found. Okay, do you have it with you too?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the principle behind this thought? Because we know Mrs. Eddy knew of Spurgeon. We know Mrs. Eddy knew of Spurgeon, and she might have known, or he might have known of her, because they were contemporaries. But as far as we know,
he probably did, because one of his workers that was from his specific church that was at his time that he worked with actually became a Christian Scientist.
Oh.
And I have some of the information for using at some point where he writes about his transformation to Christian Science in New York, and he talks about it. So I'm sure Spurgeon had to have known because he left the church to go to Christian Science.
Well, what is the principle of this? It's a principle. It's available to anyone, anywhere. What is the principle of look, turn your gaze. What is it?
Focus on God.
Why?
It's also the statement, a man walks in the direction towards which he's looking. So if you want to go in the right way, you got to look that way first.
Yes, you do.
When I was learning to drive, my grandfather told me, don't look at potholes because you'll run right into them.
Miss Betty is certainly telling you. But what is the nature of animal magnetism?
Mesmerism.
It's a serpent. It gets you looking at it. That's why you turn your gaze from it. There's tremendous power in that. It's a law and a principle of the universe. If you have a problem, stop looking at it. Turn your thought to God. The simple rule, and many people practice it, whether they've ever heard of science or not. So now I'm going to have Bruce read, because it's beautiful, just how he said it, the Spurgeon transformation that he had.
Yes. Spurgeon wandered into a church searching for peace, for he felt heavy with guilt and sin. He had a religious background, but this day changed his life. The text was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." The preacher began thus, "My dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, look. Now, looking don't take a deal of pains. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It is just look. Well, a man needn't go to college to learn to look. Maybe the biggest fool, and yet you can look. Man needn't be worth $1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. Then the text says, look unto me. I, said he in broad Essex, many of ye are looking to yourselves, but it's no use looking there. You'll never find a comfort in yourselves. Some of ye say, we must wait for the Spirit's working. You have no business with that just now. Look to Christ. The text says, look unto me. He had gone to about that length and managed to spin out 10 minutes or so. He was at the end of his tether. Then he looked at me under the gallery. And I dare say, with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. Just fixing his eyes on me, as if he knew all my heart, he said, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did, but I had not been accustomed to have remarks made from the pulpit on my personal appearance before.
That sounds like Mrs.
Bennett. Brings back memories.
However, it was a good blow, struck right home. He continued, and you always will be miserable, miserable in life, miserable in death, if you don't obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. Then lifting up his hands, he shouted, as only a primitive Methodist could do, young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but to look and live. Saw at once the way of salvation. I know not what else he said. I did not take much notice of it. I was so possessed with that one thought. Like as when the brazen serpent was lifted up, the people only looked and were healed. So it was with me. I had been waiting to do 50 things, but when I heard that word, look, what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. There and then the cloud was gone. The darkness had rolled away. That moment I saw the sun, and I could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which looks alone to him. Oh, that somebody had told me this before. Trust Christ, and you will be saved.
That is quite beautiful. Thank you for finding that, Linda. And the story is wonderful. And after that, that one sermon just let him loose. And he gave a sermon on that himself, and he just had so much. If you check out his sermons online, you can find them, and they're beautiful. And you know, Mrs. Eddy had a deep respect for the old time religion and the old time preachers come for home and talk. And she said they influenced her greatly. Not old theology, but something like these, the simple basic truths. And so any of you now involved in some problem that you seem to can't get loose of, stop looking at it. Look at God. Change your thought, your vision. There's power in that because it's the truth. And in what Linda read in Science and Health about having a perfect model, and this is why we study and read Carpenter's work, because the model is, well, first Christ Jesus, and then second Mrs. Eddy. How did they live it? What is their example? Study and follow that model and keep your eyes focused, because as she says in this verse, there's so many other things that are trying to get your attention and that you mustn't look at. So as some of you know, this past week Gary and I were in Boston. We did go by the Mother Church. It was frigid cold. There was nowhere to park, but we did see the huge hotel being built on that land. It was unbelievable, a big hotel and a condominium and everything else. It was big stuff going on behind the church, but you can see it rising up.
What and kind of hotel is it? Just someone else's hotel?
Yes, it's someone else's hotel. Evidently, they sold the property to...
Either sold it or they're leasing it to them.
For money. For money.
But they're financially strapped in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
But why? I mean, the Sunday school, which looks like an outer space building, a big concrete building that they built, I don't know how many years ago, lies empty because there's so few students. They brought it back to the basement of the Mother Church, which is actually where Gary and I.
And that big, tall administration building that they spent $88 million on is practically empty.
And Florence said she's been to the museum. What did you say, Florence? They made a museum.
No, I said, after I looked around, I sat down and I said, well, what is this all about? Because frankly, I had been to Longyear that same day, and I felt I gained more from there than this big marble everywhere building with what really did. I didn't see much, all I can say.
The purpose was to perpetuate the copyright, and they had to make it public in order to do that, and that was the way to make it public. That's my understanding from their own words.
Right. It's an immoral purpose in putting it together.
And I've also heard it, you know, that it's closed most of the time. I can't even find it. The few times we've been there, we've seen a sign for it, but I don't know where it is. And even the Mother Church itself is closed most of the time. There are only a certain days that you can go in, and then you have to have a tour. It's not just open to the public, which my understanding is it once was. Anyway, so from there we went to Longyear, and that has beautiful things about Mrs. Eddy, and Gary was urging them to remain independent, but we'll see. Anyway, they had a special exhibition on Pleasant View, and they have these beautiful quotes on the wall, and I'm going to read to you tonight, or today, excuse me, this morning, I'll just read one of them. They always pick out beautiful things. They're from Prose Works. And this was from Mary Baker Eddy, Message to the Mother Church, 1901, page 34. Finally, brethren, wait patiently on God. Return blessing for cursing. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be steadfast, abide, and abound in faith, understanding, and good works. Study the Bible and the textbook of our denomination. Obey strictly the laws that be, and follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ.
Words to live by.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks.